Express. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, welcome everybody. I'm Dr. Drew and this is Loveline. The phone number here, 1-800-LOVE-191. And tonight is a full moon. And you can really kind of tell that. Basically, the evidence is, I'm the only person in the studio right now. Chevelle is our guest tonight. They're coming. Adam Carolla is my co-host. He's coming. But in the meantime, I'll take some calls. Actually, I had a big day today. I took my family over to see American Idol, another amazing show. Not something I'm particularly into, but my kids just went insane. My daughter particularly went insane for it. And do you like American Idol? Yeah, she likes it. It's kind of a woman's show, chick thing. Don't you think? I mean, some guys like
it. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I like all that stuff.
Yeah. I can't quite get with it, but it was a great production, really exciting, well done, and it was a lot of fun. Randy Jackson, who was on this show a couple weeks ago, set us up, and we had a lot of fun. So it was good. And then I ran over to Jimmy Kimmel Show to watch Adam, the new Dawson's Creek star, appear on Kimmel Show. He's presented as a star of Dawson's Creek. He and I are doing an episode of Dawson's Creek on Wednesday. And they flipped the order of the show at the last minute, so I didn't get to see him, and he is stuck over there, so he'll be here in just a couple minutes. Meantime, I will take some calls. Kathleen, 16.
Hi.
Hey.
Sorry if I sound kind of funny. I'm kind of sick.
All right, what's up?
Well, I don't know if you remember, but like a couple weeks ago, maybe you were talking to this girl, and you defined her as an addict.
Uh-huh.
I was just wondering, like, what are the qualities of an addict?
Well, the basic definition is the ongoing preoccupation and use of a substance or a behavior in the face of adverse consequence. That's it. If crappy things are happening in your life, your work, your relationships, your finance, your health, or some legal problems, and yet you keep progressing or continually to use substances and progressively preoccupy about it, that's addiction. And then usually, well, essentially always, there's a family history of addiction there. You can see some alcoholism or something like that. Is there a family history in your background?
I had a grandfather and a cousin who are alcoholics.
All right, so we could suspect that maybe the genetic predisposition is there. And what's happening with you now?
I don't know. I just like experiment a little bit.
You're a heroin addict. How does experimenting make you an alcoholic?
No, I don't think I'm an alcoholic. I want to know if I could ever be, like, at risk, you know what I mean?
It's hard to tell. I can tell you from my experience that most people that have the gene kind of know it. They kind of know that they have an extra good experience when they use alcohol and certain drugs, and that they seem to have some sort of momentum with it, and they can drink a lot and sort of not get sort of a lot of the motor intoxicating effects. They can kind of drink people under the table sort of thing. And that's all evidence that you got the gene. Then you got to be careful, all right?
Okay.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. This is Tara, 19. Tara or Tara?
It's actually Tara.
Oh, God forbid. God forbid. Tara's up there doing a touchdown dance. Our Tara. We have a Tara. Don't call me Tara, God damn it.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, okay. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling because I was thinking of getting on the birth control pills because I have really bad cramps.
That's a good reason.
Huh?
That's a good reason.
Okay, so does that actually help?
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes it even treats endometriosis. It'll suppress ovarian cysts, and it definitely will stop what's called dysmenorrhea, painful periods.
Okay, but I have a question, too.
Yeah.
People tell me that sometimes you can, like, grow hair in
bad spots?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. The pill has progesterone in it, and the progesterone can have what are called androgenic effects, and that's sort of male hormone effects, and that can cause you to grow hair and, you know, there are side effects, but it goes away.
Yeah.
And if you don't like the side effects, there are plenty of other combinations of the pill you can take out there that don't have the same side effects.
Okay, but do these, whatever it is, do they also, like, I want to take ones that are good for you, like the ones that are supposedly, like, to clear your skin and to help with cancer?
That's the triphasic pill. That's the one that's been, most of them will actually do it, but the one that's been actually approved for that is the triphasic pill. This is Randy, 22. Randy?
Hi, how you doing?
All right, what's going on?
Well, my little brother, he caught an STD, and I'm afraid that I can get it because we share the same toilet seat.
How do you know he has an STD?
Well, he came home, you know, brooding one day, and he was real pissed off, and he had a little bottle of liquid antibiotic.
Liquid antibiotic. Called what?
Suprex.
All right. Okay. And Hmm. So that's just, you got either gonorrhea or non-gonococcal urethritis or chlamydia, something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, once he takes the antibiotic, that's it. Unless you're having intercourse with him, you're not going to catch that. All right. Good times. All right. This is Stacy, 18. Stacy?
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing. What's going on?
Well, you called us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways. All right. What does it mean? I had this guy that told me that...
He's what?
He said that he can't see me anymore because he doesn't feel like he's in control.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean S. Guys will say anything. They'll say all kinds. It just means he's not in your life anymore. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's gone. That's the bottom line.
All right.
So whatever he said, whatever it means, it's whatever.
It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter. He doesn't want to be in this relationship. How long did you date him for?
Like a month and a half.
So it wasn't really that long, right?
Right.
What was it like?
Well, everything was perfect. Like, it was totally fine. He was calling me and saying he wanted to see me and stuff like that. And then one night we hung out, you know, whatever, and it's not like I was sleeping with him, because that's kind of what it sounds like. But we were hanging out. Everything was fine. The next night he called me and wanted me to hang out with him. And then I didn't hear from him. So I was hanging out with my other friends, you know, whatever.
Was he trying hard to sleep with you?
Well, he tried a little bit, but I told him, like, because I don't know. I told him that it wasn't going to happen unless I had known him for, like, a lot longer than that.
That's good, but what happened here is what he's telling you now is it's code for that not being okay for him.
He's a big boy.
He's a big... Oh, Adam's here.
Yeah.
This is why he makes the big bucks.
That's why you make the big bucks.
You're so funny. So, Stacey, I think maybe that wasn't sort of what he was looking for. He's not really looking for a relationship. He's looking for somebody to have sex with. And you're looking for a relationship.
So I should just be proud of myself that I didn't give it
yes,
up.
Yes, yes. God bless you. Absolutely. He did not pass the acid test, and look what you learned. He's not who he thought he was. What are you going to do? All right?
All right.
All right, take care now. Sure. Dave, 30.
Yeah, hey, Dr. Drew, how's it going, man?
Dude, good. What's up?
Thanks. Basically, my girlfriend has a cold sore, and she had it for a couple weeks.
On her mouth.
I was just worried about if she has that, if she goes down on me and has oral sex, if that could turn into the other form of herpes.
It's not the other form. It's just that same virus on her mouth shows up on your penis.
So, basically, it could turn into that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Hey, when Adam gets in, tell him to play some Go Down Gambling, man, because when he's in those moods, pure entertainment.
When we do gambling?
No, when you do that Go Down Gambling song, you know, blood, sweat, and tears and all that, when he's in those kind of moods, I just think it's pure entertainment.
That's why I make the big bucks.
That is why. All right, sure thing,
man.
Dave.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Yeah, a little blood, sweat, and tears wouldn't be bad. Do we have it handy here? No.
No, that's done now, hopefully.
It's done?
It was a one-time thing. We don't need that as a regular thing, though.
Yeah, but how come you'll do that for him but not for me?
No, one time I will for him. Yeah. What do you want to sing, Drew? We'll get it.
I don't want to sing it. I want to hear it. Just all right, Melody, 14.
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
My boyfriend has tickets to the Ozfest concert.
Uh-huh.
Good times.
Yeah. And I really, really want to go. My parents won't let me. Mm. And it's like, if I went, they wouldn't really know, but they would find out because his mom is, like, just like, all truthful and all that.
Yeah, don't go around their back. That's not cool.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't really get to go to concerts that often because I never have money to do it or anything.
You're 14. They don't want you to go to concerts.
So?
What are you going to do?
But it just would be, like, so much fun because...
I know. There'll be time. It
yeah,
sucks. I know
still.
It sucks. I know, but still, it's
oh big whoop.
Well, it's Ozfest, man. Ozzy won't be doing that too much more.
Oh, cool.
Nice. I hope he hears that.
Well, no, he's actually said that. He
yeah, I understand, but you talk as though he'll be in the ground soon. Well, listen. What if there was some sort of chaperone or older sibling or something that your parents trusted, something like that?
No, he only has two tickets.
Yeah. Oh, well, you're screwed. Here's Karen, 26.
Hi. My husband wants to quit smoking, and a lot of people I know are taking Wellbutrin,
uh-huh.
like Zyban, but he's actually a recovering addict. I was just wondering if you have had any experience with people, like, I'm just afraid that it's going to trigger, like, some kind of a relapse or something.
Hey, it takes all kinds.
If he tries stopping cigarettes, how long into recovery? What's his drug of choice originally?
Heroin.
And how long into
good times.
How long has he been in recovery?
He's been in and out for a long, long time, but he's finally now got almost 4 years, and we have a baby. So
he's a big boy.
This is no problem. He just basic principles of recovery apply to this drug, nicotine as well. And yes, Zyban's an excellent choice for him. It's fine. It will not lead to relapse. He's got to practice the program and do what he normally does.
It just seems like the people that are on it act the same way that they did when they were tweaking. It seems like it kind of speeds people out.
It speeds people up, but it doesn't make them high, and it doesn't activate the reward system.
And then people are taking something to go to sleep because then they can't sleep from it too.
Well, if that happens, if he gets those kinds of – those are side effects. If he gets that, then stop it.
Hey, it takes all kinds.
If he gets the headache, the sleeplessness, or if he feels too sped up or anxious, then stop it. It's not worth it.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
He's a big boy.
Yeah. Imagine. Brandon, 15.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, dude? Brandon? Brandon? Anderson? Anderson?
Yeah?
Brandon, stop listening to your radio.
Hello?
Hello?
Good times.
Hello?
Kristen, 15. Get rid of Brandon.
Hello?
Hi, Kristen. What's up?
Hi. I have bad back pains. I just have them. I don't know why. I have extremely large chest, though. That might...
Large chest?
Yeah.
Good times.
I hate this that I have to wait till Ann returns to talk to Kristen. Is the pain in the upper back?
No, it's the lower back.
Lower back. And have you had any injuries, any other problems? Foot, ankle, knee problems?
I've had knee problems.
Okay. And so knee problem can sometimes cause back difficulties. Do you have a physical therapist or anything like that you've seen? No?
I've been to the doctor, and they just told me to take aspirin.
What are you going to do?
Well, you should talk. It sounds like something more general. I'm going to ask some crazy questions. Do you ever have severe eye inflammation?
No.
Hurt when you urinate?
No.
Something called Reiter syndrome that hits the axial joints and can be kind of... Yeah. You need to see somebody called a rheumatologist. At 15, if you're having knee and back pain, you shouldn't be having stuff like that at your age. And I'd be hard-pressed to say it's just because of the anatomic situation you're in with the large... Did you say you have a large chest?
Yeah.
Good times.
And that would cause pain in the neck and shoulders and upper back, but wouldn't really explain the low back and knees.
Yeah. My dad said that, I don't know if I just work out my back, that would help, but I've been doing that and it hurts worse.
Yeah, you should see a physical therapist ultimately, but before you do that, you need a diagnosis. You need to know what you're dealing with, and a rheumatologist would be the one to see for that, all right? There are inflammatory, something called ankylosing spondylitis. There's all kinds of great things you've never heard of that they can cause that sort of thing, and it needs to be specified, all right? This is Tom, 21.
Hi there.
Hey.
Thanks for having me on. Mm-hmm. I have a question. For about 10 or 12 years now, I compulsively pop my joints.
Yeah. He's a big boy.
And I tried to stop. And
hang on, Tom, one second.
All right.
For the cyber Adam really to work, need him. He needs to be sort of present enough that I feel unhappy. You know what I mean? Or else it
That's
really,
why I make the... He's a big boy.
What are you going to do?
That's why you make...
Good times.
Yeah,
hey, it takes all kinds...
Oh, big boy.
Hey, it takes all...
No, not so I feel like jumping out the window and hanging myself here in the studio. Just so I have that usual angst and discomfort that I just... Because I know if they aren't feeling that, the cyber Adam isn't really being sold properly. So, all right. Yeah, Tom, you pop your joints a lot?
Yeah, it started... I had a seizure when I was in third grade, and I had brain surgery after that.
What are you going to do?
And ever since I recovered from the brain surgery, it's been started with my neck and then my lower back. And
are you on seizure medicine?
No, I've never had a seizure since.
Are you on any medicine?
No.
What was the brain surgery for?
I had a cyst in my left hemisphere. I was in third grade. I'm not exactly sure. It was
good times.
Arachnoid cyst?
Yeah.
Ouch.
And since that incident, I've had this popping issue. I've went to a few doctors when I was younger, and they kind of assumed it was a sports injury or something, and it really, nothing. They had me on a hot pad, and that didn't work.
It's first of all, hard to say. It's hard for me to make a connection between seizure, arachnoid cyst, and laxity and joint popping. So it may have been just coincidental.
May have been.
Yeah.
But.
Secondly, there's nothing. I'm not an orthopedist, so I can't say specifically, but I'm not sure there's anything intrinsically wrong with joint popping, though. People have hypothesized that it could put you at risk for degenerative joint disease, that sort of thing. I would be more concerned with the why. Do you pop even when you're like walking upstairs, that sort of thing?
Well, it's not, actually, I have to make myself do it. It's kind of...
Hey, like it takes all kinds.
Have a compulsive behavior. I notice I do it more with stress.
Yeah. And it's the small joints you do or the big joints?
Most, almost all the joints, honestly.
Yeah, so you might want to, yeah, go ahead.
I didn't know where to start. I mean, I figured, I know there's a, probably like a chiropractor or else.
Chiropractor's fine.
Also a whole psychological aspect, because I know I do it more with stress, so I should go to a psychologist.
I don't know that, you know, if you have an obsessional behavior like that, that necessarily means you, it's a symptom sufficient to necessitate you seeing a psychiatrist or psychologist, but I would talk to, orthopedist, chiropractor about the potential harm you could be doing. And if you, with that physician, determine that you really are putting yourself at risk and then you can't stop, then that's time to see a psychiatrist.
Good times.
For obsessive compulsive kinds of behaviors. Jennifer 21. Jennifer?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. What's going on?
Oh, not much. I'm 4.5 months pregnant, and everywhere I go, everyone I know smokes and smokes weed.
Good times.
Yeah, and it makes it really hard for me to quit, and I, you know.
You stinking whore.
So you're smoking pot while you're pregnant?
I have a few times, not very often.
You say that as though it's no big deal.
Whoa, 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 ho, 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 whoa.
I know it's bad, but it's like I'm in Oklahoma, and everywhere I go, this is what's around me.
I understand that the certain amount of desperation that goes along with living in Oklahoma. And
hey, it takes all kinds.
Might want to medicate that, but in the meantime, you're engaging in child abuse.
Yeah, I understand that, and I feel horrible about it.
And if you are, I mean,
I'm not doing it every day or anything. I've done it.
Jennifer, stop the BS. Stop it. You are putting your child in harm's way.
I understand that,
and
that's why I'm calling.
And but listen, it's just a little bit. No, that's you are BSing yourself. That is massive denial. You are abusing the child and putting it in harm's way.
You coke whore.
And you have to find a way to stop this. If you can't even, the desire to use is so profound, you're willing to harm your child, that should tell you something.
No, but see what I'm asking.
It's not the other people's, it's not the other people's fault.
How should I tell these people?
It's not the other people's fault.
What are you going to do?
Everywhere I go, this is what's around.
All right, Jennifer, then it's everybody else. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? The world comes bearing in on you, and you are helpless. There's nothing you can do. So helpless you're damaging your child. You're committing child abuse.
Well, that's why I'm stopping smoking weed. I haven't done that in...
Okay, well, the only way you're actually going to stop, the only way, because the addiction is so profound in your case, the only way it's going to stop is if you really do something about this. And women that abuse their children during pregnancy by exposing them to toxic chemicals, there's sort of no more serious sign of addiction than that. And you got to do something about it.
I mean, it's not like I haven't been drinking. I've been eating right. I've been taking all the vitamins, doing everything, getting exercise.
I wish I could express to you how frustrating it is to talk to somebody in the level of denial that you're maintaining.
Hey, it takes all kinds.
And wait till the child's out, because then you'll keep smoking pot every day, and that is damaging to the child, too. An intoxicated parent is an abandoning
parent. But I'm not doing it. I was
abandoning
doing it occasionally,
parent.
And now there's, you know.
So, okay.
Okay, whatever. You don't want to.
She should have her hands cut off.
That's right. You should what? What was that?
You don't want to be, like, you know, helpful about this or anything. You
you're not listening.
Attack me.
I'm not attacking you. You're not listening. Oh. It's your responsibility. You're the only one that can change. The people around you are not going to change. You need to get some treatment for this. This is very, very serious. And I'm not attacking you. I'm trying to break through your denial, which is massive. I mean, think about what you're doing. You've got to let that in.
I understand that. I am.
And so get some help.
That's why I'm.
Okay. So you're going to go out. You're going to call a physician who deals with this, and you're going to get some treatment right away.
Okay.
Right. Or go to an MA meeting or somewhere where you can get some sort of help with this before you do something profoundly damaging. Because you obviously...
Okay, well, I'm not doing it right now. I mean, I haven't done... I quit doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes it really hard for me to be around people that, you know, they're sitting there doing it and right in front of me. And they know I'm pregnant and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm trying to stay away from it.
What's your plan?
What?
What's your plan?
Well, you know, I've told people, you know, when I'm around, you know, just let me know if you're going to
okay.
do that.
Well, that's not going to work. So so why did you call if you're not willing to listen to what actually is going
to
work?
I feel like I'm listening to everything.
You're arguing. You're arguing with it. You call a place for help, and then you want to argue with what can be done. That's pretty sad. It's time to start listening, goddammit. Yeah. That's pretty sad, I think. But you can do as you please. The way you're doing it's not working. That's why you're calling for help. And your plan is to keep doing it your way. Because when somebody who deals with this every day tells you how you have to change it, you're not willing to listen. So good luck. All right. It's time for a break. Is the band here?
What are you going to do?
Chevelle is here. Cyber Adam is here. I'm Dr. Drew. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. And we'll take your calls after this.
Good time.
Foo Fighters in here tomorrow night, but tonight it's Chevelle,
hey,
Pete, and Sam.
Hey,
good to see you guys.
Thanks for having us back.
Full moon tonight. Full moon.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Callers want to argue with me. Guests don't want to show up.
Yeah, what's the problem with us?
Co-hosts are here in cyberspace only.
It's that whole thing with celebrity.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Yeah,
it's that whole thing with celebrity. Yeah. That's the whole thing. And so you guys are going to be on the Ozfest this summer.
Yes, again. They asked us back.
How was that last year?
Oh, it was total. Oh, it was awesome. We did the second stage, which is cool because you it's kind of like a family vibe over there.
Did you guys know Ozzy and Sharon? And
you know, it's funny. We never met Ozzy until just recently, a couple months ago. We went to his house.
Yeah.
And well, we met Sharon before we ever went and did Ozfest, and she was great and super nice. And Ozzy was like, when he's on Ozfest, he's just in and out, you know, doing a show and then goes out and does his thing. He's not around during the day at all.
Oh, that's interesting. And Will turned last night.
Yeah.
Right.
And current year, you were on with Disturbed?
Yeah, we're on the Music as a Weapon 2 tour, mm-hmm. which has actually been a lot of fun. It's been big shows.
We have some upcoming dates. Bakersfield on mm-hmm. the 17th of April, Reno 18th of April, San Francisco 19th, Sacramento 20th, just going straight up the coast.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be fun.
Tearing it up.
Denver on the 23rd, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, I guess that is on the 29th, Madison, Wisconsin, yeah. Chicago on the 3rd of May.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a call for you guys. This is...
Shut up, everyone, talk!
Jason, 14. Jason, is he here?
Hey.
Jason, what's up?
I love this show.
Oh my God, this is our caller. Say Crank Yankers.
Yeah, I'm the Crank Yanker.
Yeah, no kidding. This guy says two words. I know. How come you guys don't know it's the same guy?
Well, I am 15.
Yeah, I'm sure you are 15. All right, ask your question.
Let's see. How did Chevelle originate and where?
That's a very good question, Jason.
Thank you for calling in and asking that.
Crank Anchor.
That's him.
He's great. Chevelle originated because Pete and I just started playing music together when we were kids. We
yes.
liked doing it. We liked writing music, and we just
we said we can do this better than.
Do people know that you guys are
That's
all brothers?
That's why you make the big bucks.
You're all brothers. Yeah.
A lot of people know that. A lot of people don't. We are three real brothers, and we play hard rock compared to that other pop band. So
of three brothers.
Yes.
Jackie, 24.
Hi, Dr. Drew. How are you?
Hey, Jackie. I'm good.
Hi,
what's up? Hi. Hey.
I just want to say that I've been listening to Love Line since I was, like, 14.
Fantastic.
So, Dr. Drew, you're, like, the bomb.
Oh, thank you.
My question is, I want to know how I can stop fantasizing about my boss. I'm having, like, serious problems. Like...
Who? Hold on a second.
Hey, that's hot.
Hello.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Exactly. What can I do?
Shocking.
And to top it off, I'm engaged.
You're engaged,
yeah.
And you keep fantasizing about your boss.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. The star of Dawson's Creek, Adam Carolla, just walked into the studio.
put her on hold for a second, Drew. Yeah, sure. I gotta say, yeah. Hi guys.
Hey, what's up?
Sorry,
you look snazzy.
Sorry, I'm late. Yeah, I was doing the Jimmy Kimmel live tonight. Mm. Your Drew's wife was at the show. She was in the green room along with his kids.
Yeah.
I got on late. The show kind of ran a little late. I got out of there. It was about 10 o'clock. I went running back to the dressing room to grab my wallet, and your wife cut me off.
Okay.
And she's, Adam, when are you going to build that treehouse for Paulina? That's Drew's daughter.
Nice.
And I said, I don't know. I don't know. I'm on the move here. I got to get to the radio. And she's like, well, hold on. Someone wants to talk to you. So then your daughter, Paulina, comes around. She's, where's my treehouse?
The guilt
Daddy
trip.
Says you won't build my treehouse. Your mom's saying, I mean, you're a, well, mom, a little Freudian slip there, but the dungeon master staying there, your wife. I said, listen, I'll get to the treehouse when I get to the treehouse. I got to go to the show. I got to do the radio. She said, whoa, not so fast. I said, are you high, honey? I got to go do the goddamn radio show. Where do you think I'm supposed to be right now? She's like, so she follows me in the dress room. I collect my stuff. I start walking out, trying to go down the hall. I'm in a jog. She's, Adam, hold on. Now, does she understand the radio show goes on every evening about 10-ish?
Yeah.
What's with the forming the human blockade on me so that and accosting me with the treehouse question so that I can't get to this show, Drew?
Sounds like they were
unacceptable.
Yes,
planning that for a while before you got off the set.
She's really you got to get your wife. You got to get her like a watch and some Valium. I mean, she needs so many things, Drew. Please, I was offended.
How was the show?
Bad audience. Weird. Full night. Full moon. Yeah. I mean, it was fine, but it's like, yeah, the audience was kind of weird, and it was like you feel the energy kind of was thick in there, and it's one of those full moon things. Mm. All right, but we're going to snap back tonight, right, fellas?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was fun when we did it. We played the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Oh, yeah, you did, right? Yeah. That was good times, right?
It was great. It's action-packed.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have your good nights.
I have a shot of me in the seat talking to my brother Joe. He's all, they took a shot of us in the seat, and I'm like,
yeah, don't tell Jimmy.
I'm all, we hear he's very sensitive about his seat.
You got behind the desk.
Yeah, behind the desk.
Smart. Yeah, he's gonna flip when I tell him that tomorrow.
He'll come after them.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. All right, so we can continue. Is that my chair?
That's my chair, it seems like, isn't it?
Oh, that's the groaning.
All right, whatever it is. You want to swap, Drew?
No, not yet.
All right. Well, let's finish up with what's her nose over here.
I heard they had some footage of your Grand Prix on tonight, too, no?
Yeah. Good times.
Jackie, so you're engaged.
Yeah.
And you keep thinking about your boss. Did you ever have a relationship with your boss?
No.
Never?
Never.
Were you obsessing about him before you got engaged?
Yeah.
So you always had an attraction to this guy.
Yeah.
You know what happens? I really think this happens more than people realize.
And I've been with my boyfriend for like 3 years. We just got engaged a month ago.
Hang on a second. There is some evidence that women do the following. Some women, not all the time, but sometimes. Basically, they get engaged with one type of guy, and they try to collect some genes from another type before they settle down.
Mm-hmm.
Some genetic material.
Mm-hmm.
That the alpha male is what that they want their genetic material. They just don't want them around to.
Right, they don't want to marry the alpha male because he's out impregnating people and drinking and driving El Camino.
They just want to collect some of his genes and then head on into the family system.
I don't think that's the case here.
All right, so you don't want to have anything with this guy?
Well, see, that's
and,
my question.
And does
how
it,
do I stop picturing myself being with him? How
and
do I stop
women
picturing
have a,
myself?
Women often have a final fling before they get married. That's a more common thing.
Jackie, have you had much experience before this guy?
Yeah.
I mean, before the guy you're marrying?
Uh-huh.
You have. Mm-hmm. So you feel like you've sown your oats, you've gotten it out of your system?
Maybe, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about this guy, your boss?
He's smart, he's down to earth, he's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm seeing. Jackie,
he's tall, dark, handsome, powerful, good career.
Is he married?
He's very nice to me.
But
so, when we work together, I mean, I just feel like
is he married?
Personal. No, he's not.
Is your boyfriend more of a nice guy?
My guy's a great guy.
But is he a nicer guy than your boss? You know what I mean?
Yeah, he is nicer.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
You're making my case for me, Jackie.
Chicks dig the jerks.
Oh, yeah.
But he's not a jerk. I don't know. Okay, but how can I just, like, stop? Like, do I need to focus myself on something else?
I
don't want to do it anymore because it's, like, it's becoming an obsession.
But if you attempt to stop thinking about something, you only think about it more, right?
I'm trying to diet.
Yeah, so what do you do?
She really has to evaluate what she's doing here. Is she really ready to get married or not?
You're 24?
Yeah.
You think you're ready to get married?
Well, I'm not planning on getting married anytime soon. We're like on a 3-year plan. We want to save and buy a house.
Maybe you don't want to be engaged.
She ain't into it.
Yeah, maybe you don't want to be engaged right now. Maybe that's not.
You think your boss is interested in you?
I don't know. It's nice to think that, you know, but.
Well, do you have any? Does he ever do anything that would lead you to believe that?
No. It's just, I don't know.
All
right. It's really cool. And with me, when we're working together, like, we just hit it off. And I don't know, after we have those little, like, instances where we're working together, I go off and then think of, like, oh, well, I should have taken the opportunity to maybe ask him for a drink or maybe,
you know, we could have gone. You ever masturbate to him?
No.
No?
No.
See, a guy would.
Well, how would I feel?
Guy would do that.
Yeah, she can't like him that much.
Well, that's the only way he could not act out.
All right. So the answer is what?
The answer is don't get married. Or
how do you break off an engagement that's not supposed to be for a marriage that's not until 3 years?
It's an interesting question.
You know what I mean? Take him to Pizza Hut.
It's kind of like if you're gonna get married, it's like a lot of people, they go and do it right away. I mean, anytime you put it off for like 3 years, isn't that weird? It's like they're not really.
It means something.
Yeah, you're making a statement that you're not really that into it or that ready to do it.
And this may be her body telling her that, you know, or it may be just sort of a final friend.
But she compromises with a little BJ or something, and it's not really, not really intercourse. There's no.
This is Benji, 31. Benji.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
This is Joe Wilson. I'm a student of Benji's, actually. Benji is a junior college ceramics teacher, and he's right here, and he'd like to talk to Adam about ceramics. Here you go.
And junior college, Adam, coincidentally.
Hello?
Yeah, hello, Benji.
Yes.
Yes, you've stooped to a subterranean low. You're teaching ceramics at the junior college level.
Oh, yes, sir. You know, I hear you every night.
I know.
I was there dogging those kids with you.
Yeah, you have horrible, horrible stoner slacker students, don't you?
Yes, sir, and they're the ones that wanted me to call you, too.
What'd they want? What are they making? They're making water pipes all day long, right?
Oh,
that's all they make is bongs
and potpourri holders all day.
Pinch pots.
Bongs and potpourri holders.
Same thing.
Those things go together?
Yeah, what are they? What, they make pipes, too?
They don't really make any of that stuff. They try to, but I don't let them.
You want to quiz me on ceramics?
No, I don't want to quiz you, man, because you're the man. You know everything, but you slipped the other night.
Yeah?
You were putting some guy down for being into ceramics in the theater. Which I thought was kind of funny, but I think you were BSing this guy.
Beating? What? Doing what?
I think you were pulling this guy's leg. You said Raikou firing?
Yes,
and
yes.
I think you meant to say Raikou.
All right. Could have meant to say Raikou. You called for this reason?
Well, actually, it was my students. They've been waiting the whole time.
I said Raikou, and I said Raikou instead.
And you said it was a firing like in South America?
No. I said Indian.
Well, it's actually Raikou is actually in Japan.
Oh, big whoop. Well, the American Indians would. How would the American Indians fire their pottery?
With wood.
They pit fired, actually.
They bury it in the ground.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right here. He was a potter, too.
Over
Sam.
It. Yeah.
Well, see, the Raikou was fired with wood, but it was a process where they used glazes. Instead of pit firing, was no glazes.
All right. Well, what's the pit firing called?
It's called pit firing.
Yeah, well, what did the Indians think? Ooh, pit fire.
Benji smokes a pot.
Well, he's teaching ceramics at the junior college level.
It wasn't Raikou more like a spiritual thing, too?
I don't know. We got to get on the internet and straighten this out.
Right,
my ceramics teacher, Miss Miranda, told me that when you buried the Indians would bury the pots, and there's way too much talk about the way Indians did things. It's like, listen, we kicked those guys' ass in about 10 seconds, and now we let them open a casino. We really need to find out what their methods were in life. We need to turn to them.
Look how they're doing now.
What are they doing now?
Casinos.
Yeah, they did. They open casinos and they complain about mascots and they get drunk. What? We need to find out. We need to talk to them about their methods.
That's crazy talk.
Turn Japanese in the middle of the Raikou rant.
Nice, but yeah.
All right.
It's another testimonial of the great quality of the teachers at the LA Unified level.
Yes.
School district. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, my teachers.
Yeah. It could have been Raikou. It could have been, what do you
Raikou.
Call it? Raikou. Could have been, pits burning.
Pit firing.
Firing.
All right. We need to cut our losses. Let's take a break, Drew.
No, so this will cheer you up. Carrie, 16.
Hello?
Let's hear a Chevelle song. That's what we need to do.
All right, Carrie, we'll just tease this first. Carrie, what's your question?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Aren't you happy already?
Yeah.
I want to say hi to Chevelle.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Y'all kick ass.
Hey, thank nice. You. You sound cute.
Well, thank you. Well, my first question, I was in a panic, and I said something about my boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really don't have a question about that. I was just in a panic.
I see. So your question, you just want to call and say hi to Chevelle?
No, I have a question. When did,
but in certain age groups, boobs have been spelled B-U-B-E-S.
Boobs?
Yeah.
Boobs.
Boobs.
I haven't seen that.
What is your question, Carrie?
Hey, Carrie pronounced it that way.
Huh. Well, if you'd let me talk, Adam. No, I'm kidding.
All right, baby.
Okay, well.
Don't make me mispronounce some form of firing on you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, I had this ex-boyfriend, and, like, I had sex with him, like, a few times, and I ended up pregnant.
Oh, boy.
And then I was stupid. I didn't use a condom.
Mm.
And I found out I was pregnant, and then all of a sudden he didn't want anything to do with me. Mm. And
What's the question? Because we're just going to have to go to break here in a second.
So. Oh, okay. Long.
All right, get rid of her then.
Just
put her on hold.
Right, Drew, put her on hold.
Your instincts are horrible. Yeah. I didn't want to go to break 10 minutes ago.
Nah,
you said no.
You want to play a song? Go to break.
We got to go to break.
All right, let's go to break.
Look what time it is.
All right.
Chevelle is here.
By the way, if you were sitting in this seat, you'd be looking at that. You'd be yelling at me for even raising the possibility of a break at this point.
What do you mean? We're supposed to go to break at 10:39, 10:40,
you
right?
Never go before 44, 45.
We'll be right back.
Well, we don't play songs going into it. We usually just argue about what time.
All right, let's go to break.
All right, Chevelle's here. We'll hear Chevelle's song. We'll get back maybe with Carrie after this. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Pete and Sam are both here from Chevelle.
Yes, we are.
We're going to hear something off the CD in a couple of. These guys are going to be doing Letterman, by the way, on the 20th of May, so mm-hmm. you can mark that on your calendar.
Yeah, we got booted, actually. We were supposed to be on a couple weeks ago.
We got bumped.
We got bumped for the Whistler. Bumped.
Is it booted?
There was a Whistler on instead.
Really?
That's hilarious.
It was bumped.
He got bumped for the Whistler.
Yeah.
Buted.
You guys got a new publicist. All right, so phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Now, were we done with Carrie over there?
No. We didn't hear a question.
All right, but she kind of made a false question of
Carrie?
Okay, I talked to my mentor and I summed it up. He screwed me and I want revenge, yes or no?
On your boyfriend?
My ex.
How did he screw you?
He got her pregnant, then he dumped her.
I see, right.
Yeah, and then I had a miscarriage, and then he's all, well, you killed it.
All right, he's a dick. Here's your revenge.
Total dick.
Well, I have new pictures of him.
No, Carrie, don't get into it. Your revenge is going out and having a good life, getting away from this guy and guys like him. Don't ever look back. He's done. He's out of your life.
If
you stay in a dance with him, move out of the town, move to the big city.
She's 16. Where's she going?
Yeah, but eventually,
how am I
going to
go?
Have a goal for that. Listen, if you stay in a dance with this guy, he's getting gratification from you.
You're already bigger than him, though.
Are you? How are your grades?
I'm out of school.
Oh, you're 16 and you're out of school?
How does that work?
Dropped out of school.
Okay. No.
What happened?
I'm homeschooled and I got out early.
Oh,
you got out of your home early? Or?
No, I got out of homeschooling early.
Why don't you go to college?
I'm thinking about going to cosmetology school.
Mm.
Good.
Opening up a place in Austin.
That's
right,
fine.
Go to Austin. Nice town.
Go to school there.
Beautiful.
Do they have home cosmetology school?
I think so.
Nice. Oh, good times.
How do you graduate early from homeschool? Your dad just runs out of steam and says, F it, go ahead.
My dad's $6,000 behind in child support and doesn't want to
Well,
help me.
This is why you need to keep going after an a-hole, because you got to make it right with dad.
Yeah. I'm going to homeschool my kid, and then somewhere in the third grade, I'm just going to show him, you graduated, son.
You're done.
Congratulations. You're 9. We're going to need you to get a job at this point.
You're like the Wizard of Oz.
You got this college degree. What do you want to do?
Yeah, the Wizard of Oz said it works like that.
Yeah.
Get a degree.
All right. So you're 9 and a half. You got to move out. You're going to join the service. You're going to get a job. What are you going to do?
You just start a rock band.
Start a band. Take whatever it is. Just take it
on
the road.
That's what we did, man.
That's what happened?
Yeah, we were homeschooled.
Really?
Oh, all three of you?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, actually, everybody
except
for
kind of went south on your brother, though, right?
Yeah,
didn't
right.
work so good in the...
How, yeah.
There's seven kids.
We were talking about this
seven
before.
Kids?
Yeah, the two oldest ones went all the way through the school system, and then
I went through like a little bit of it, and then I did what she did. I stopped going to high school when I was 16 and started going to college right away. Mm. Now, but you can do that if you're homeschooled. You can go right into college.
But how do you have transcripts and things? Like, I mean, you
don't
go
need
to,
them. You have to test into the
you can
school.
You can go to junior college, but you can't go to like UCLA. Or
yeah, you
something. Can.
You absolutely can. But you have to take tests to get in. They have to make sure they can that you.
So
can place
do
in.
They have tests for people who were homeschooled?
Absolutely.
Hmm. Oh, really?
The whole school system is completely set up for us already.
Really?
As a matter of fact,
even
your local schools, your high schools, you can go and take classes that you can't take necessarily at home, like your gym class or your driver's ed class, things like that. Just take those classes and still go home for your regular classes.
You know what I'm going to do? Oh, wait a minute. I'm out of high school. If I was in high school now, I would let them think that I was homeschooled.
You're right. I can see it.
Just going to play baseball, just going to take some gym, maybe a little shop, but then it's right back to the house to crack the books. Meanwhile, I just go to the park and drink Mickey's. Huh?
Yeah, some people are better about policing.
You go home and
check
off. Come on.
Oh, please, Drew. I'd do that at school. All right, we're going to hear a Chevelle song. Anderson, you ready over there? Yeah, this one is called Send the Pain Below.
Light, having hurt.
Chevelle, everybody. Ooh, I wonder what's next. Name of the CD. Just talking some ceramic shop with Chevelle during the break.
Yeah, it's riveting, right?
I'm interested. I'm interested. All right. I'm turning the corner on the ceramics, Drew.
You mean you wanted to go back?
I'd like to go back and get in touch with my weathered feldspar. All right, a little ceramic humor there for you ceramic geeks.
That's
at
great.
Home. Thanks. All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break, and we'll be back with more you, more Chevelle, more me, more Drew after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. Where's Dr. Drew? He must be on the commode.
He had the first half hour on his own, so now he's giving you a little bit.
I was thinking about that as I was beginning my complaint against Dr. Drew for not being in here.
I saw him by the snack machine. So
yeah.
He's just munching on some peanuts.
Just killing time.
Anything you can cause addiction, Adam. Did you know that?
That's David Alan Greer as Dr. Drew. All right. Chevelle is in studio tonight. Dr. Drew's in studio tonight. He has a paper on Raku.
Ooh.
Yeah. I told him to get on the internet and find me the answer to this plaguing question. All right.
What happened here? WD-40?
Yeah. I oiled up my chair. It was making too much noise. Oh, did you find out anything about Raku, Drew?
I stuck it down in front of you there.
What is the
Clearly,
Raku
the Indians
party?
Did it.
The Indians did it.
But I don't know if they're invented it or they're just...
All right. But all I'm saying is that jackass called me from his junior college to correct me on my pronunciation of the firing of clay technique known as Raku that I called Raiku.
And it is junior college.
He also corrected me on saying that the American Indians did it, and they do it, right?
Yeah. What I can't tell is whether they've not...
Vindication.
Yeah.
Vindication.
Whether they do it recently
Feels
and
good,
stole it,
it
from Japan or whether it was simultaneously invented here, but they definitely do it.
That stuff was going on 2,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago. Those Japs have been ahead of us in everything all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're industrious people. Then it trickles over to the American Indians. They do it for a couple of years. And casino time. Mark?
Hello, yes.
You're 24?
Yes.
What's
Adam?
Up? Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Adam?
What's up?
Not much. Drew's here, right?
Drew's here, yes.
Yeah, okay, well, I had a question because I've been seeing this girl for like a couple months, and we had sex like last night, and I was just wondering because she was on birth control for maybe like maybe a couple months before she started seeing me.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like came in her last night, and I just wanted to know if would she be able to be pregnant.
No, she's on the pill, right?
No, she was on
she was on the pill a couple months
ago.
Oh, she hasn't been on it for a couple months, or she had been taking it for a couple months?
No, she hasn't been on it for a couple months.
She hasn't been on it for a couple months.
Yeah, she'll get pregnant.
She can get pregnant.
Of course.
Even just one time.
Wait, if she doesn't take it every day...
Yeah, she can get pregnant even when she was on it. If she didn't take it perfectly, she can get pregnant.
But it's just one time.
Yeah. Have you never heard that? It just takes one time, and you could be pregnant?
No, well, I'm more like... The positive note where it's not
yeah, that helps. That helps a lot.
The positive right thinking.
He believes the egg is half full, Drew, not
yes.
half empty.
Yes.
He's an optimist. Mark.
Well, I mean, she went to the clinic today. I mean, I just want to know what they have probably said to her.
Well, this happened yesterday?
Yeah, last night.
All right. Well, hopefully they gave her the morning after pill.
This will be great.
So she won't get pregnant. But in the future, you're going to have to use some birth control, right?
Right. Well, that's not going to happen any longer because she kind of got pissed off at that I did that.
Really? What did she think you were going
to
do?
Yeah, why didn't she ask you to put a condom on?
Oh, she did, but, you know, kind of halfway through, she kind of, like, offered me to take it off.
All right.
And she's mad at you because of this?
Yeah, she's kind of pissed right now. She's not talking to me right now.
It doesn't make much sense.
All right. And she wanted you to pull out?
I guess. I mean
that's, well, you could have gotten her pregnant even without pulling
that's
out.
Not
so
a real...
Ridiculous.
Even with pulling out,
yeah,
is what Drew meant.
Yeah,
that's not a real effective means. Most guys dribble, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a dribbler.
You got the gasket that works.
Drew's a dribbler.
Mm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Leaky seal.
Yeah.
Leaker, yeah.
No, you know what? You know why I believe you dribble, Drew? Because you're a man of such immense passion.
That my chi must fly right out of my body.
No,
can't be
like
kept within
like,
the confines overflowing. Of the flesh.
Nah, I guess what it is like a dog that drools. You know what I mean? It's like hungry. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah, I know.
Do you think there's any connection between?
I think it's that she just needed to get out.
The amount of passion a guy has in him in the valve.
Could be. Could be. It makes sense. It makes some sense.
All right. Will?
Yeah.
You're 13?
Yeah.
What's up?
I just wanted to ask Chevelle a question.
Yeah, what's up?
How'd you guys get started as a band?
Pretty much, Sam got a drum kit. I started playing acoustic guitar and switched to electric about 9 years ago, 10 years ago? 10 years ago.
At least. Oh, no way, longer than that.
Longer than that.
Like 15 years ago.
So, just started playing music that we liked, and then shortly after that realized that that doesn't get you anywhere, and we started writing our own stuff.
So you were doing, like, covers at the beginning?
Yeah, just to mess around and get a feel
to learn how to play.
You know?
Right. What kind of stuff were you doing?
Man, back in the day, we did, like, Dead Milkmen covers and Fire Hose and
Quicksand and
Misfits.
Wow, all right, so you guys were, you weren't
we did a couple
like
of
cool
Minutemen songs. Oh, yeah.
Not,
cool
like,
in the
hardcore in the
cool
post scene, but, like,
Michael Jackson.
Kind of like the post-punk thing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and these guys were all living under the same roof and answering to the same principal, which was their dad, or the pool man, I guess.
Yeah,
and you
right.
have to start
gardener.
Assigning different jobs. Like, yeah, the gardener, he's the
did you practice your rock
students.
Today?
Yeah, so you guys just would stay home and jam, right?
Yeah,
did you
right.
practice
or skateboard
your rock
today?
Hey, Will?
Yeah?
You want to start a band?
Yeah, I'm already in one right now.
What are they called?
We're kind of debating the name between Troubled Society and Fever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fever's
taken.
It is.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Any one word? Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah. We had to like totally search out our name. There were like four or five other people across the world.
You guys, Chevelle after the Chevy, after the car?
Yeah,
essentially.
Hey, Will?
Yeah.
So you figure, like, even if you don't know that there's a band called Fever, you don't know of Fever.
Right.
They just have to. It has
to
be
absolutely.
Taken.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
Everything's taken one way or another.
Yeah.
We've done name searches on like so many levels.
Really?
What if you just took the name, used the
Lots
name?
Lots of people do.
Yeah.
Some people just take it, and some people just have it and don't use it, and they own it.
But what if you used it and you became identified with the name and they just had some sort of trademark?
Well, sometimes
on
you can shut somebody down like that way. Yeah,
sure.
I mean, we shut a couple of people down that way. And then you can also coexist.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, there's a band called the Chevelles in Australia.
In Australia, yeah. And then there's Chevelle Franklin in I can't remember.
I always like those names. Like, you know, they end up doing the UK. They put the UK on the other end of it. Or like...
Charlatan's UK.
Yeah, we almost did
right.
that, too. We were thinking about that.
Like, I think Better and Ezra was...
didn't work for us.
They were Ezra, and there was some band called Ezra, so they changed their names to Better Than Ezra.
Mm.
Yeah, it can bite you once in a while, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk to Gloria.
Hello.
Yeah. Like, I wanted to name my band Uriah Heep. Remember them? But there was already one of them.
Crap.
Gloria?
Yeah.
You're 16. What's up?
First, I want to say hi to Chevelle.
Hi.
Hi.
I saw you guys on IMAX, like, a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. That was fun, huh?
No, I thought it was, like, kind of mean what Steven said about Disturbed.
Oh, yeah. Well,
what
you
did
know,
he say?
Not everybody's a fan of everybody, so.
I know. But anyway, I was going to ask Dr.
Steve who?
The dude on Much Music, he said something about Disturbed, about how you guys are much better. Those guys were...
Oh, he said that on the air?
Yeah, he said something about how they were, like, they, I don't know, they were stiff
whatever.
Or something.
Whatever.
Gloria?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
yeah whatever.
You have a question for the doctor, whose name you can't remember?
Yeah, sorry. I got a question. Every single person in my entire family, no, all the adults in my entire family smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think that would, like, affect me, like, really badly?
You mean like secondhand smoke?
Yeah.
Well, if you're in a ventilated room, it's probably not like that likely to be a big issue. And Adam and I sort of wonder if maybe more has been made of that than really should be the case.
Well, never hear about anyone dying of secondhand smoke.
And be that as it may, the bigger issue for you actually is that it puts you at risk of being a smoker.
It does.
Yeah, that your probability of smoking goes up dramatically if you have family who smokes.
Well, what about the fact that she was rebelling against her parents, doesn't like them?
And is not going to smoke because of it. Yeah, I hope that the statistics are, though, you're much more likely to smoke.
Can it ever go the other way where, like, smoking just pisses you
I'm
off?
I'm sure
and you
can.
Hate
and
it
can. This is a caller sort of exemplifies that. But
yeah. Right.
Statistically, still, you're more likely to smoke.
Drew, what about those things that where you like blow smoke in your kid's face until he vomits? You know, at age nine.
Aversive conditioning.
Yeah.
Doesn't sustain very long.
Well, you do it every like
every
3 days.
Yeah,
every
3 days. That might. Yeah.
That's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
When I'm homeschooling my kid, I'm gonna be smoking and just blowing smoke into his face until he vomits in the trash.
That could give the kid some problems.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Right? That truly is secondhand smoke.
I have a sneaking suspicion your kid will have problems anyway.
Oh no, he or she is gonna. Maybe you're right. But look, I'm gonna make
like
enough
veal.
Money. I can bail him out of jail.
That's right,
Mike.
Hey.
You're 17?
Yeah, that's my name.
You're 17?
Yep.
All right.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Great.
By the way, just want to let you know that you were, like, the father, like, you've taught me everything I know about, well, below-the-waist stuff, because I'm a very strong Christian, and so while I live my virgin life, mm-hmm. I've learned everything that should be in the books from your show.
Hey, the good book.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. You want me to do my smoking aversion therapy with you?
What's that?
That's where I fart in your face.
And blow smoke?
And then blow smoke. I take a drag off a cool, and then I blow gas in your face until you vomit.
No, but I do want to raise one issue.
Hmm.
You've told some of your callers that they're still virgins after they've, you know, had a blowjob and gone this way and that way and third base. And here I am. I hardly even kiss girls, and, you know, I'm in the same category as they are, and I think that's just a little bit unfair.
Well, I agree. I think chastity is more the issue. And you
well,
know.
I'm just saying, don't put me in the same boat with the guy that's gone that far, because, man, that's just sucks.
He's a real virgin.
Yeah,
guy.
Well, anyway.
Well, I'm sorry, but if there's like a young lady and all she's done up until whatever, she's 18 years old, and all she's done was give a guy a couple of hand jobs, I call her a virgin.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, it's a technical thing.
Maybe not chaste, but a virgin.
All right. Yeah. I'll follow through that line.
And you're chaste. See, you're more than a virgin. You're chaste.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I listen to your show anyway. But the question I had is actually for Chevelle. I was wondering, because we've been following you, me and a friend, and we knew that used to be, I can't remember the record label, but it used to be on a Christian record label. Is that true?
Actually,
not exactly.
Yeah.
Not exactly.
They said they weren't.
Yeah, whatever.
They weren't.
Yeah. This is one of those things where
they distributed to that market and catered and tried to get us to do a lot of interviews with those magazines and stuff. But, you know.
Oh, my gosh, man.
No
comment.
I don't even want to touch it.
Yeah. Really? Well, you guys aren't a Christian rock band, are you?
No.
All right.
Yeah. This
but
is,
but I think we're going to talk to Mike a little more. Mike?
Yeah.
You into the Christian rock?
Well, yeah, I'm into, like, the crossover stuff like Creed and Lifehouse and all that. I just wanted to see if Chevelle's going to be in that category at all.
You know, I could go off for, like, 45 minutes and on this whole thing.
Really?
And you totally don't want to hear it.
All right.
Yeah,
you had a bad time? Bad experience?
You know what?
You butted heads with a lot of people. So
right.
There's this whole industry.
Yeah.
No, I want to say this one thing, all right?
Yeah.
There's this whole industry that exists.
Right.
And it's just taking advantage of people under the guise of religion or God
or whatever. Interesting.
And I don't buy into
you know, thing. There's a place for it, and then there's also, if you know, like,
there's a lot of people out there stealing money from churches.
Who thinks Creed is a Christian band? I mean,
I don't know.
You know?
I don't think of them that way. But who are the other ones, like Jars of Clay or... who's Striper?
Uh-huh. POD.
POD.
Yeah, they get that a lot.
But isn't it just in general? I mean, there's a good side of religion, and then there's a side that tries to extract money from other religious people,
yeah,
like faith healers and stuff.
And I think everything has that quality to it. You know,
right.
Like everyone's trying to take advantage of somebody.
Oh, let's not forget the Aquabats. They're a good Christian group, right? Just from like Aquonia or something.
Yeah.
Aren't those guys?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like born agains or something.
Oh yes.
All right. You got to sell your soul to the devil if you want any real success in the rock field.
I think if you play churches, you know, to youth groups,
right?
You're probably a
Christian and you
band,
steal money from the church and charge them $10,000 to come play to 50 kids.
Ooh.
But there are a lot of bands that don't want to be labeled that,
right?
And they go out and they work hard. They play those clubs for years and years. And,
I don't think people.
You know, but then again, you know,
break
who
it up.
Really cares? So,
well, not me. I'm an atheist. I'm just looking to die and have nothingness for the rest of my life. Tony?
Hey.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, like, my question is for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like 6'2", like, roughly 300 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like a big guy. But, like, I have, like, tons of friends. And, like, a lot of them are girls. But, like, I can't ever seem to get a decent girlfriend.
And you're 16?
Yeah.
Are you overweight?
Yeah, like, obviously, if I'm...
You said over 300 pounds.
Well, there's guys that are just, say, they play football and they lift a lot of weights or something. You know, they call me call themselves a big guy.
You know, I went to the American Idol.
I mean, then they're super fat.
Show tonight, and the guy Ruben, who's a really great singer, is huge.
Right.
He's 3-something. He gotta be.
Yeah.
And everyone thinks he's great.
Well, listen, if you're black and you can sing, you can be as fat as you want. You still pull some tail. But if you're Tony, you're white and you can't sing, all you are is fat now.
Well, I mean, I'm not like that big. Like, I mean, you know, not like can't get on any park rides big, but...
Yeah.
Yeah,
What would you weigh if you had your choice?
I don't know. Like, I guess, like, if I was the doctors, like, whenever I go there, they're like, well, if you lost 70 pounds, you would fit into your frame.
Okay, so you're well overweight.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to do something about that.
Yeah, like I've tried like a lot of diets and stuff, and just none of it works.
What are you doing? Are you exercising?
Yeah, like I walk at least like a mile to school every day.
No, that's nothing, Tony.
And well,
you're 16 years old. You should be better running 5 miles.
It's gotta hurt, man.
Yeah.
Well,
about is your family big? Are they big people?
Yeah, my mom's big, and like I don't know. I, like, kind of want to break the chain.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Cause,
through walking to school?
Well, no. I mean, like, I'm on the football team, and, like, right. I get tons of exercise.
Mm-hmm. All right. But here's the thing. You have a pre-existing condition with the weight.
Genetically.
I mean, let's face it. If you're 16 years old and you're 300 pounds, you have a genetic predisposition to pack the weight on. So you're going to have to work harder than most people in order to maintain a healthy weight. So that means you're going to have to diet all the time, and you're going to have to exercise all the time, and that's your lot in life. Now, maybe it'll be a blessing. Well, he's 16. Shouldn't he? What do you? What kind of diet are you on?
Well, actually, I like most of the time I'll get up and I'll have like a breakfast bar, and then like I'll have like a normal school lunch, and then I'll come home and I'll have whatever.
Five chickens? No. So you're saying you don't eat that much?
Yeah, like I eat like what normal people eat.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You can't eat what normal people eat,
and you can live on very little food for a very long time.
Yeah, look at the Indians when they were
performing the
raku.
Those little tiny pots, they couldn't get any food in there at all.
So Tony,
yeah,
you're gonna have to exercise a little more than the average guy, and you got to eat a little less.
All right,
hey, good
and,
times.
And you can look into gastric bypass and more formal structured dietary plans and things.
Yeah, well, see how the diet and the exercise thing works first. But listen, I always feel sorry for fatsos because we love to get down on them as a society. It's like, look at them. Look at the lazy. Look at that fat, lazy guy.
You mentioned yesterday
lazy.
How the Mexicans deal with it, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I got my plumber. My electrician's Mexican guy's got a chubby kid. Aye! Calls him Gordo.
Gordito.
Yeah, it's just calls him fat.
Fatso.
Really?
They don't beat around the bush, those Mexicans.
No.
It's like, hey, sure. Gordito, go to the truck. Give me those LBs out of the truck. Kid's 14, calls him fat. Another guy worked with, called Mexican guy, he called his kid Bodola Queso, which is a ball of cheese. I always like that. It's a good name for a kid. Like, I might just start calling my kid, hey, little bottle of queso.
It's not a ball of cheese. It's cheese ball.
Yeah, but they switched it.
I understand, but really, in English, it's cheese ball.
Yeah, it's cheese ball. Yeah, but it's not in English. It's in Spanish, you jack off. All I'm saying is they get it right over there. They just, kid's fat, they call him fatso. That's all. But that being said, you got a bad hand dealt to you. You're 16, you're fat, you got to work at it.
Yeah.
And then look at that surgery.
He may need medical management.
Well, I was surprised when we were talking to I heard you guys talking about Sharon Osbourne on the way in, that she had that bypass or gastro bypass surgery, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is that, like the cutting out part of the...
Or they reconnect it in different ways, yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I have a friend who did that,
so
too.
So thin.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Could I you imagine that she had ever, that done?
No, I couldn't imagine that she was ever, you know, much bigger than that.
I think she always was heavy. I saw some pictures of her back in the day, but it didn't seem like she would be a candidate for that surgery. Would it, Drew?
No, I don't mean to throw cold water on the possibility of that surgery, because we don't really know whether people should be getting it or not. Short term, it looks good. Long term, maybe it's where the cancer came from. Maybe it's put at risk for that. I
mean, really?
Who knows? Huh? We don't know the long term effects of the bypass.
Mm-hmm. Josh? Josh?
Hey, how you doing?
You're 14.
Yeah.
You know who called in tonight again? The crank yanker.
Yeah, the guy sounds like this guy.
Crank yanker.
There he is.
Yeah, the guy who'll never. And by the way, here's where I'm going to smash it, little kid, because I was listening on the radio. Every, you know, you say crank yankers, and he goes, huh? He goes, say crank yankers. Why should I say, you know, it's like, just say the, listen, when we yell at you to say something, you just goddamn say it.
I've got mail.
Josh.
Yes.
Say crank yankers.
Crank yankers.
Thank you. You see that?
He's the other Josh's cousin.
Yeah. What's up there, buddy?
Well, I have this, like, problem. It's really bad because, you know, you're sitting in class, you're sitting in science class, there's no, you know, sexual thoughts running through your head. You're just, you know, trying to pay attention, and, you know, I'll get, like, an erection for no reason.
Yeah.
Mm. And then, you know, the bell rings, you have to get up and, like, go to your next class.
Good times.
14. That's what happens.
14 to
the
about.
The wind blows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. Just sitting wrong. Just sitting.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys you have that problem in your home school? The bell would ring, you'd have a boner, you'd have to head out into the kitchen.
Your mom
would...
Go play your rock music. Well, no. No, I'm going
to
sit here.
So, you want to know what to do about this?
Yeah.
I say, well, A, you got to wear...
jeans.
Three, yeah, but like three jeans.
Tape it to your
three
leg.
Three sets of jeans. No.
Don't wear sweatpants.
Don't wear sweatpants. Always wear underpants. Wear jeans. And do that move that I do where I pull it up against my belly.
Oh.
That'll kill it.
Stuff it, tuck it under
your
arm.
Through?
That'll kill a boner. Kills a boner cold.
What?
Here's what you do.
What if it comes up through the...
I don't got that much. Please. No, here's what you do. You wear jeans, and then you wear a shirt that's untucked. T-shirt, sweatshirt, whatever, just hanging out. As you get up, and here's the thing about adjusting your junk. It's acceptable to adjust your junk, but it's got to be during movement. You can't be standing there talking to someone for a few minutes and reach down and adjust your junk. I'll show you. Watch. I'll adjust my junk. I'll do it as I'm standing. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Ready?
All right, go.
Hey, watch,
and
watch.
Action. Right, here we go. Here we go. He's going standing. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
See?
Yeah. Didn't even notice.
No problem. I was on the move.
That your back was hurting you or something.
You stand up. You can do it when you're standing up. You can do it when you're sitting down. That's proper
junk etiquette.
Junk etiquette there. So
sack grabbage going on there.
That was a little sack grab. Right. Yeah. Right. Thanks for noticing. If I had had a boner, I would chase Drew around the studio with it. But the second thing I would do is I would slide the hand in, pull the boner up against the belly. Get it caught in the waistband. Now it's up. It's pressed hard against the belly. The shirt's hanging out. You don't see anything. It doesn't have to hang out of the pants.
Sure.
And it kills it. Yeah. Your boner can't live when it's against your belly that way. It needs to push. You see?
You're choking it.
Yeah. You're choking the life out of it. Your boner. Here's what happens with the boner. The boner comes down the leg there, and it starts rising. It feels the resistance of the pants. And it becomes a war in your pants between the jeans and the boner. Who will win? I don't know. The point is
detail is amazing.
You pull the boner against the belly. Where's it going? It's not pushing backwards. Right. It can't push into you. It's dead. Boner, done. Mission accomplished.
Right. Good times.
You know, he shouldn't be complaining either, because the real problem is when he doesn't get one, right?
Oh, that comes later.
Yeah, right.
No. Yeah, I haven't got one of those. You got one of those spontaneous ones in a while?
Not a long time, no.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah? Good. Right now?
The bus. On the road.
Oh, yeah, but that's the movement. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Chevelle's in the studio tonight. We'll hear another Chevelle song, I think. Yeah? After this. Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Pete and Sam are both there.
Hey.
Chevelle.
Excellent nuts.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, these, what, Adam smoked out?
Yeah, we got. I was saying on the air a couple of weeks ago that no nut better than the smoked almond.
Rage Against the Cuisine?
Big fan. Big Ooh. Fan of the smoked almond. And a lovely listener sent over probably about it's about 30 pounds of smoked almonds.
Yeah, yeah.
And I forget about them, but Drew digs them out of the locker every once in a while. We get into it.
They're good.
Smoked almonds.
Is there something that you can get from eating too many nuts?
No? Fat. No.
Yeah, fat.
I know you want these nuts.
Jackie?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I kind of have a thing with, I like to date older guys. Mm-hmm. I don't really enjoy dating guys my own age.
How much older?
Well, let's see. The guy I'm dating now is 27.
All right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I get a lot of crap in this from my friends and everything, but I just don't find any interest in guys my age. You know, I don't, like, I talk to them, and it's just, I kind of feel like I want to jump out a window, because it's just, it's nothing interesting with them. But with older guys, I just kind of feel...
What's more interesting about them?
Huh?
What is it that's more interesting about older guys?
I just feel like I have more of a conversation with them. I feel like they're more on my level.
What are you doing right now?
I'm going to school to become a medical assistant.
Junior college?
No.
Trade school.
Trade school? No. Where are you going?
Bryman College.
Bryman.
That's a trade school.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to be a paramedic, so I'm.
All right. So you're heading toward a professional career.
Right.
You don't want some young screwballs wet behind the ears wearing a wind-up beanie trying to give you a little finger action on the first date.
Yeah, basically.
Well, so be it.
Yeah, well, somebody had said something to me about it being like a thing with, like, I have issues with my dad or something, and I just wanted to know if that was true or not.
No. Not Why? Do you have issues with your dad?
Not at present.
Where is he?
My dad lives in Orange County, but, like, when I was growing up, he abused me, so I didn't really get along with him that well.
Well, maybe your friend was right with the issues.
we're great right now. So,
yeah, but he sexually or physically?
My dad?
Yeah.
My dad's never touched me sexually. He just...
Beat you.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I said sexually or physically.
No. My dad never touched me like that, so...
Right. That's why... You said he abused you, and I said sexually or physically, and this would be...
Right.
The answer
would be physically. Very simple.
Right.
All right. Yeah.
Well, listen.
27-year-olds.
Yeah, it's going to affect
19-year-old
you.
Wouldn't be smart enough.
Yeah, it's going to affect you. Mostly, it's going to cause you to go after guys that are sort of potential abusers.
No sexual abuse, though, Drew.
No.
Right.
But, you know...
Well, look, here's...
We're used to abandoning fathers, creating women, going after older guys.
But also...
Unavailable
older
guys.
Are we going to be able to talk anybody out of what they're attracted to?
No.
Ever. No one's
that good. Well, we can teach them to read their attractions, maybe not pursue them so compulsively.
And then they could get into years of therapy and work it out, but we're not really going to be able to talk them out of it.
That's right.
But the sort of... What everyone should be saying is because of whatever the situation was for me growing up, I am attracted to blank.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And that's it. But don't give that, like, there's nothing for me to talk to. You know, when I talk to a 20-year-old, there's nothing to talk about.
Nonsense.
That's BS.
That's nonsense.
No, because Jackie sounded like someone a sharp 15-year-old could have had a good conversation with. I mean,
right.
Let's face it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're attracted to that. That's fine.
Let's listen to a Chevelle song.
I was wondering about that. I know Drew wants to eat.
He almonds.
He doesn't want to hear any Chevelle music, but he sure as hell wants to eat some smoked almonds.
No, we got to do this thing, too.
Do what, Drew?
The liner.
No, we don't have to do that.
All right.
Yeah, we don't need to do that.
All right.
Do it tomorrow.
Well,
what do you mean?
All right.
You don't bring a liner in with 11:30 at night saying we need it for tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow.
Have them feed it after the show tonight. That's our new affiliate in Boston, WAAF.
All right. Maybe we'll do it, maybe we won't. But the point is we need to hear a Chevelle song.
And eat almonds.
Yes. So we can eat almonds,
okay,
right?
Go. Yeah, let's go. Yeah.
All right. This one is called Comfortable Liar.
storm.
Chevelle, everybody.
I love the applause, man. I really appreciate all the fans coming out.
It goes out to an ex. You know who you are.
Sam and Pete, both here. Wonder What's Next, name of the CD. And I'll take a question for Chevelle before we go to break. Dawn?
Yeah.
You're 20?
No.
All nope, right. You're 13. 13,
yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be 14 tomorrow.
Good.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Just wanted to ask, how did you come up with your songs?
Mm-hmm.
How do you come up with your songs?
Basically, I take a lot of frustration, and I just write it down. I also play guitar, so I come up with, music, and I just throw the lyrics at them. So, seriously, I mean, it's really that simple. Anybody could do it. You just have to be kind of honest with whatever you're writing, and work at it. So.
And you have a really great voice.
Thank you very much. Because
and my brother loves your drumming.
Oh,
Sam. So
thank you. I appreciate that immensely.
That was him.
That was.
Nice.
I bring that along with me everywhere.
What are you doing for your birthday tomorrow, Don?
Sitting at home.
What about school?
I'm in spring break.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, and
happy birthday, you're not special.
So, you're just going to sit home tomorrow, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And eat pizza and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Wow, eat pizza.
That's good. Something to do. We eat pizza every day.
Every night after a show, mm-hmm. Pizza.
And what
did you have tonight?
We didn't have a show tonight.
Well, yeah, we played in K-Rock, but it wasn't really a show. So.
Yeah, they didn't give us our pizza or our champagne.
Oh, my
gosh. We short a pizza for these guys.
Yeah. All right, Drew.
And Adam, yeah. I love you so much.
Thank you.
You can see the new star of Dawson's Creek. You can see him tomorrow, Wednesday night.
Yeah, I programmed that because I can't watch stuff after 10.
All right.
Oh,
what time is Dawson's Creek on? 10?
9?
She can't watch stuff after 10.
Only bad things happen after 10.
Got to be 10 o'clock. I know. I think about what I do between the time I come home at night from this show and go to bed, and it's really the worst part of my life.
You stay up late?
Smoke cigarettes, booze, beat off. Oftentimes the ritual. Yeah. And clean living during
only
the day.
Only things that start with B's.
That's
booze,
right.
Booze, butts, beat off.
That's right.
You could bake. Right.
Wait a minute. TiVo doesn't start with B. Yeah, there's just...
Do you brood also?
That's the beat off part.
Yeah.
You could brew beer.
Let's...
No, brew.
Yeah.
Could bite things.
I'm not as obsessed with the B thing as you guys are. I will open myself to doing things that don't start with B. All right, we're going to take a little break. Chevelle is here. And we will take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Drew's competent. He does his job, and that's why he gets to stick around here. Yes, Drew?
That's what Billy Joel said at the American Idol. He goes, hey, he goes, I'm not great. I'm just competent. I know how to do. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know how to write and grange, and I know how to do my job.
I thought that's he wasn't. Job. I thought he wasn't there.
He was there in video form.
Oh,
little videos.
No, that's not
pieces.
Being there.
Yeah.
That's not
Smokey
being.
Robinson was there, though.
Sam and Pete are both here from Chevelle.
Yes, present.
Smokey Robinson was there?
Yeah.
But, Dad, it's Smokey. Remember that commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, what happened? He was judging?
He was judging, yeah.
Yeah? And, Drew, you brought your kids there to watch?
My daughter almost lost her mind.
Those kids, yeah. Their
Smokey
life
Robinson.
Is so good.
Just, she likes the whole show.
Mm-hmm. I really sit down and think about what the most thrilling thing I did before age 10 would have been. I think I had some fat uncle from Philadelphia put, like, a quarter in the change slot of a payphone and said, go check the change slot. And I ran and put my hand in and pulled a quarter out. It's like, oh, this is great.
Or how about your parents springing for one of those magic fingers massages in a motel bed? the bed vibrates, a little vibrant. Remember
what are
that?
You talking about?
You remember that?
I never went anywhere
with
my parents.
Anywhere, yeah.
Well, what'd you do? Oh, you mean like when you went on vacation?
Yeah.
They throw a couple quarters in there?
It's wasteful now, mind you.
Yeah. True dad's
quarters.
Cheap. My dad's cheap, but he has no money, so I can kind of cut him a little slack. But Drew's dad has a few dollars, still cheap.
Thrifty.
Took their vintage Thunderbird to Earl Shive to be painted.
Oh,
yeah.
No. Ouch.
That's cheap. Stupid. And that was back in the 1995 days, right? And $10, free body work.
Yeah.
Lisa?
$29.95.
All right, one up, Ted. Yeah, you're 21. What's up?
I wanted to ask Dr. Drew, I think my dad might be an alcoholic, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. There's kind of signs that are pointing either way.
Well, he uses regularly.
I'm sorry? Yes, he every single day. Every day.
And is it having consequences?
See, that's the thing. Not really. Once in a while, and it causes problems between my parents a little bit.
All right, so it causes relationship problems. Isn't it bothering you?
It bothers me that I know what's going on, but it doesn't really have an effect on me directly.
You living at home?
I'm living at college right now.
All right, so we'll see. If it progresses, that's it.
Well, how much does he drink?
Actually, I've kind of kept track once or twice, and I've counted like 13 or 15 beers in one day.
Well, certainly volume-wise, you're in. It'd be hard for him to stop. He could have seizures and things at that level.
Really?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just knocking
back 14, 15 beers.
You get more, you're two dozen beers. You're going to have alcohol withdrawal when you stop.
It's not two dozen.
So that means he's got health.
It's a baker's dozen.
14 or 15?
Two.
I said, I'm sorry. You're right. A dozen.
You're losing it, buddy.
You're right.
Lisa?
Yes.
So you're off of college now?
Yeah.
And when you come back, do you have to stay at home?
Yeah.
What's your dad do for a living?
He's a mechanic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mechanics.
Yeah, they like to drink. Mm-hmm. And he comes home and has a few beers, huh?
Our family, like my mom or whatever, me would kind of ask him, why do you drink so much? And he does blame it, like, well, I work all day and I should be able to come home.
Lisa, there's always a reason to drink. But now, not only is it affecting his relationships, but the reality is it would be dangerous for him to stop.
I was going to ask you about that, too. Like, what would the consequences be? Figuring that he's 43 and he's probably been drinking he's 46. He's probably been drinking for like 26 years now,
mm-hmm.
heavily.
Yeah, it could have caused liver inflammation and are scarring in the liver. It can cause a little brain degeneration.
So you're saying cold turkey could be
cold turkey
thing.
Could be very dangerous. He needs to be cold turkey, but he needs to be in a medical supervised detox.
Wow, I've never heard that.
The only withdrawal from a drug which is commonly fatal is alcohol.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he have a sizable gut on him?
Not too much. He did, and then he had a case of hyperthyroidism, and he got super skinny.
Oh, okay, good. I thought you were going to say he had a case of old Milwaukee.
Yeah.
All right. I worked with a guy named Russ the
Drywaller. Go to Al-Anon, Lisa. Go to Al-Anon. Before you hear about Russ the Drywaller, head out to Al-Anon. There'll be a meeting at your college, I'm sure.
Russ the Drywaller, a case of 16-ounce old Milwaukee
every day. Oh, my God.
No, old English, I think.
Oh,
old English? Because old Milwaukee is mostly water.
Yeah, this was old English. Yeah, 16 ounces. These were the tall boys.
Wow.
And he drank a case every single day.
Wow. How could you even have that much liquid in your body?
Yeah, how could you function?
I don't know. Like if I was shotgunning them with a ballpoint pen and I had a bunch of frat guys yelling, chug, I don't think I could physically get through 24 cans of 16-ounce beer.
No way.
It's not that many.
Maybe throughout 24 hours, but
this guy was a union drywaller. The union guys would work 7 to 3:30 sharp. He'd be home at 4 o'clock. He'd stop at the liquor store. I went and spoke to the person who worked at the liquor store about him, by the way. They started carrying the beer for him. Because he'd buy a case every day, you know, it starts to add up. Wow. And he'd go home and he'd crack his first one about 4 in the afternoon. And he'd probably put his last one down about 9 at night and go to bed.
He probably drink in the morning a little bit.
Nope.
Oh, yeah.
Nope. He'd get up at 6 in the morning, get dressed, and go to work. Do his union job.
Not at lunch, a little bit?
No, I worked with a guy. He quit. He never drank when I saw him. But it's skinny as a rail, too. I love those guys, too. 6'4", real gangly.
Yeah.
I don't know how you physically put a case of 16-ounce beer in you.
That's another case for genetics.
Yeah, right. We got a 16-year-old living off tofu.
He's 310 pounds.
And running to school every day like the loneliest runner. Remember that show, Drew?
Yeah.
And this guy, skinny as a rail, looks like Ichabod Crane, drinks a case of Old English every day. Kendall?
Hello.
You're 17?
Yes, I'm 17.
What's the matter, buddy?
Hey, I've been masturbating since I was like 11.
Mm-hmm. Something come out of you at 11?
Yeah.
What was it?
I believe it was semen.
All right. Could have been strained peas at that.
Yeah, anyway, I've been doing this for a while now, and I'm in really good shape, and I can't seem to have an orgasm as easily as I have been earlier in my life.
Are you on any medication?
Yeah.
What are you taking?
Celexa, but only occasionally.
Well, but there you go.
That's it.
I haven't been taking it for a while, though.
How long?
Probably a couple months.
You know, I've heard of people with Celexa particularly having persistent problems for quite a while afterwards, so it still could be that.
But you can't have an orgasm. You're working solo, though, right? You don't have a girlfriend.
Celexa.
No, I do have a girlfriend, and we've had sex before.
Kendall, Celexa and Paxil, I've heard of this. Those two medicines causing persistent orgasmic dysfunction even after you're off the medicine.
Right.
It should go back to normal, but it may take 6 months or so.
Okay. I just want to say I really appreciate your guys' show. I've been listening probably for 4 or 5 years now from down in California, KMBY, and I've been moving around, and now I'm up in Oregon.
Thanks, cool. Kendall.
So I love your guys' show.
You know, I like that KNRK up there. Have fun.
Good luck with the jizz.
Oh, thanks, dude.
All right.
Let's do this one quick.
All right. Let's talk to Sam. Sam?
Yeah?
17?
Yes, I am.
What's up? Sam, not a virgin.
The first thing is, I had sex with my girlfriend, and she was pretty tight, right?
Yeah.
We had sex in a couple months and so far and so forth. Mm-hmm. And in between those, like, that month and all that, I fingered her quite a bit.
Sure.
And the second time that I had sex with her, she seemed really, really loose. I mean, was that...
Mm-hmm. From your fingering?
No.
Yeah. For your persistent fingering?
No, that is the vagina. First of all, if she's anxious, which she probably was the very first time you got together, there can be a muscular spasm that makes things seem tight or even difficult to get in.
Right.
Normally, when a woman's having an arousal, the vagina dilates. It opens. It's ready for reception. It opens up.
Yeah. But what about his constant throwing her vagina like a pot?
Or like a bowling ball?
No,
a pot?
Throwing.
I see. Yeah, shaping and yes.
Sporting working the swallow, we call that.
Sporting
the swallow.
Working that thumb in there, working the forefinger on the outside.
Pull it out.
Yeah.
No, most of that
spins her around.
You know, the two fingers.
Yeah, it's nice. Good times. Yeah. All class.
All right.
Wait, Javelle, you guys rock. Love your song, The Red. Good
Thank
job.
You. Hey, peace.
Right. Take care, Sam. So his problem was what?
Nothing. Let's go.
All right. Drew, you quiet down over
there.
You don't know anything tonight. To know what pot throwing is. Making fun of my Raikou. My Raikou. Yeah. We'll be back. Well, that's it, everybody. Foo Fighters in here tomorrow night. Should be a raucous evening. Mm-hmm. I want to thank Chevelle for coming in tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
it's been great.
Always a good time with Chevelle. You guys come back anytime. Anytime you like. I promise I'll be here for the beginning of the show.
Can we come tomorrow?
Time.
Hang out with the Foo Fighters?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right. Tell Davey said we'll be in.
So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
What if there was some sort of chaperone or older sibling or something?
No, he only has 2 tickets.
Yeah. No, well, you're screwed.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.